You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
I'm Gareth A. Davis. You're listening to the UFC Buzz Podcast for William Hill. We're in Las Vegas. It's UFC 229. Yes, we're back in the big time because it's the Conor McGregor show. It's an international media week. Joining me this week, Niall McGrath from Off the Ball in Ireland, John Morgan, lead, chief, senior, writer, all those things for MMA Junkie, and of course Jim Edwards from Fighters Only magazine. Ireland, America and the UK reflected here because of course this is a massive event. I'll come to you, John. You always get the first question. As Dana White says, who's got the first question? And it's always you. So you're going to get the first question and I'm going to give it to you. How big an event is this? It's your hometown in terms of work. How big an event is this back in Vegas?
Yeah, this is massive. I mean, I judge kind of by the number of radio interviews I'm doing from spots all over the nation. I mean, we're filled in all the United States, but definitely here in Vegas, this is that big fight feel, you know, whether it's a big martial arts contest, a big boxing contest, you know, the streets kind of change, the energy kind of changes in the days leading up to it, and we're starting to get that feel now. This is big, and, you know, it's funny, I've been thinking about the last couple days, you know, Dana White is throwing out these huge pay-per-view numbers, and a lot of people are sitting back giggling and laughing, saying, no way, but you know what? It's going to happen. I mean, this is the type of fight that casuals that don't know anything about mixed martial arts are like, I got to buy that fight. Everybody's talking about it. I'm seeing it on TV. I'm hearing it here. I got to know what happens. It becomes a social event more than just a sporting event, and it's feeling big.
Definitely. I felt that yesterday at the workouts that, you know, we were here in the summer for the big July event, big names on the card, the Cormiers, the Miocic's, all these big cards put together. But when Conor stepped out yesterday for the workouts, you know, the first kind of public appearance, if you like, of the week in Vegas, it was not all the fans we've got used to. It wasn't 5,500 fans in there, but the energy levels went up. Even his son toddling across the stage, all those kind of things. Niall, in Ireland, is the pickup big for this?
Yeah, I think the pickup is massive. But, you know, the one thing I think I'm concerned about is the amount of fans actually going to be in the arena on Saturday. I think that's sort of maybe taken away from the atmosphere, because on the plane over here, I went in through Charlotte, came down from Charlotte to Las Vegas. And, you know, I must have talked to 10 Irish fans coming over for the fight, but that was for the atmosphere. They're not actually going to the event. So that's maybe the reason why it was a little bit flat in terms of the atmosphere yesterday in the arena. A lot more apparently have come in overnight and this morning. So the press conference a little bit later on this afternoon, I think we'll have a better gauge on actually how many people are going to the fight. But in terms of excitement levels back at home, yes, you know, my phone is hopping, trying to organise things, you know, different outlets. You only hear from when Conor's around. So it's one of those events that's captivated the nation. And there's a big sporting event on tomorrow in terms of rugby, Munster, Leinster. It's always a huge event.
Let's get really parochial about this,
but
yeah?
That's getting totally overlooked because of Conor McGregor.
No, but it's huge, isn't it?
That just shows you the magnitude. Like, Leinster are the European champions, you know, and we're talking about Conor McGregor and Habib. It's great. It's great for the sport. And I think, you know, from an Irish point of view, the longer Conor is around the sport in Ireland, it's a plus and it's an advantage.
Jim, you're here for Fighters Only, but there's a full, and I know you do media work for the Nationals as well, a full national media contingent out here. All the British MMA boys are out here as well. My feeling is, I don't know if you agree with me, but Conor can be stellar again in terms of popularity if he can win this fight on Saturday night. He's certainly drawn us all over.
Yeah, for sure. Like you were just saying, there is a full kind of representation of the UK press here as well, which has been unprecedented since his last fight almost 2 years ago. So it's great to see everyone back. But like you say, maybe a lot hinges on what sort of performance we get from him on Saturday. Is he still going to be that superstar? Is he still going to bring the people to the arena? I think Niall raises a fantastic point there about, are the true fans going to get into the arena to create that incredible atmosphere like we had back when he fought Jose Aldo, where the roof like blew off the place when he knocked him out? If that happens on Saturday, do we get the same thing? I don't know.
Well, it's funny, you know. I think they could have called this UFC McGregor comeback, not UFC 229, because that's what everyone's talking about. We've got to go to some of the other fights on the card, because that's what we do. We are here for the whole event. What I'm hoping most of all, by the way, is that Conor McGregor is still around when that football stadium gets built across the road, mm-hmm. and we have an 80,000-seater fight outdoors late in the evening. Have you thought about it yet, guys? Wouldn't
I've
that be extraordinary?
And that would be absolutely phenomenal. I know there's been talks of at home. It's never going to happen because the UFC pay-per-view policy and what they do with events. You know, Cardiff's been mentioned, which would be fantastic as well. But, you know, having an 80,000-seater in Las Vegas, cheaper tickets, bigger atmosphere. You know, forget Ricky Hatton.
Johnny gave me a lift back from the UFC Performance Institute yesterday, and he said, by the way, you see that concrete mass over there? That's the football stadium. And it was going around my mind, I didn't mention it to you, in your lovely yellow car at the time, John. If you haven't seen John Morgan's yellow car, it is a spectacle. It is a spectacle, and he is fitting in it. And thank you for the lift back. But it is, I don't know if it's occurred to you yet, John, but it could be a venue for a McGregor fight.
100% occurred to me. It's one of the first things I thought about. I mean, you can't tell me. I mean, that stadium is not being built on the outskirts of Las Vegas. That stadium is being built right across I-15 from the Las Vegas Strip. One side of
which is 2 minutes walk from the T-Mobile, if people don't realize.
That's it. One side of the venue is going to be open air, so you can see the Las Vegas Strip from inside. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous. And you can't tell me that Dana White doesn't want to come in there and host a big event. You think he's going to let boxing or, you know, Anthony Joshua or something like that come over and do it first? Hell no. This is his backyard.
Brilliant, guys. Well, let's get to the card. If one of them is called a hottie, I think they're both incredible hotties. So are the men, by the way. I'll just even that up. We have got a fantastic strawweight fight to kick off the main card, of course. Michelle Waterson, brilliant role model, mother, fighter, role model, inspiration as far as I'm concerned. And Felice Herrig, I think she's the hottest property in women's MMA, in my views. The odds with William Hill, Michelle Waterson, 11-10. Felice Herrig, 8-11. I'll come to you first, Jim. Fantastic fight. Loved the face-off today. They look great together, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. But, I mean, let's face it, this is a great stylistic matchup as well. I like what both bring to the table. We just saw Felice Herrig defeated by Karolina Kovalkiewicz. And that was a good fight. And I'm actually expecting quite a similar fight here. Felice lost that by split decision. It was back and forth. They went toe-to-toe. I think when you look at Michelle, she's a bit more karate-based, but she still has high striking volume, just like Karolina. So that was a good fight. I'm expecting a good fight on Saturday.
And the winner?
I'm going to go with Michelle Waterson. I just think she's just a bit more well-rounded than Felice. So I'm going to go Michelle Waterson. Whenever it's the strawweights, I always go decision. So I'm going unanimous decision from Michelle Waterson.
Let's go around the table then, guys.
Yeah, I'm actually leaning towards Felice Herrig in this fight, but I think it's a very close matchup. I think it's a great one. As you said, two women that have been involved in the sport for a long time. I mean, these are great spokeswomen. They've been around in these lighter weight classes and in these smaller organizations, and now they're getting featured on the big stage. I love the fact that they're getting the attention here. It's a great fight, as you said, two great athletes, two great people. But I like this strength in the grappling of Felice Herrig, and that's why I'm going to lean towards her.
I'm going to go with Michelle Waterson this one. I think the speed is going to be a massive, massive problem. Michelle, probably one of the fastest, if not the fastest, female mixed martial artists, and I think that's going to be a big problem for Felice dealing with that. We saw the fight against Karolina. You know, that could have gone her way as well. It was a split decision, very close fight, but just for me, the technical ability, the speed, and I think we're going to see a lot of kicks from Michelle getting in and out and, you know, not getting anywhere near Felice in order to take it to the ground. So I'm leaning towards Michelle, but I think it's a great opener for the main card, definitely.
I'm sorry, Niall. I'm sorry, Jim. You're both wrong. It's going to be Felice. The scrapper, her scrapping, her ability to scramble. Michelle is a very clean fighter, as you know. Felice will make this her fight. I agree with John. I could be wrong, of course. The odds with William Hill favour, I think, Michelle. No, they're very, very close, actually. Let me pull these odds up again. So William Hill favour Felice, just repeating, 8-11, and Michelle is 11-10. Thanks, gents. Derek Lewis, Alexander Volkov. We said Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou, would be a thriller back in July. Was it 14, 16, 18? It wasn't many punches thrown anyway for 15 minutes of what was well, probably the most shocking fight we've ever seen, John, in the UFC history.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, that's one of those ones that you're telling everybody, you know, like, guys, don't miss this one. No way this can suck, and then it absolutely sucked. So, yeah, you know, listen, I hope we don't get that kind of fight here. You know, I know Derek Lewis was very embarrassed by that performance. Look, he's had some back issues over the years. You know, so I know he's done some treatments and hopefully feeling better leading to this one. Volkov is a tough customer, and there's no doubt about it. This is going to be a difficult fight. Probably a number one contender fighter, pretty close to it. Of course, we kind of got some holdups in the heavyweight division on exactly how things are going to shake out, but a very, very meaningful fight at heavyweight. I like this one on paper. It does look like it should be a finish. It does look like it should be two big dudes that are throwing down and looking to finish the fight. I'm going to ride with Derek Lewis. You have to, man. I love the kid. But we'll see. It's a tough one here.
Niall.
I think I'm going to go with Volkov here. I've just been impressed over the last couple of fights, you know, in his finishing ability. We've obviously seen it in the past, but, you know, in terms of being in the UFC, he's very versatile, a few submissions, and obviously that finish against Fabrizio Verdum as well. So, you know, I'd be concerned with Derek Lewis that he's too one-dimensional here in this fight. And, you know, going on the last performance, you know, pretty much sucked. So, for me, I just have to favour Volkov here, and I think he's going to finish the fight.
Jim.
Yeah, I'm also going with Volkov here, and it's because of Derek Lewis's back problems. We've seen in the last few fights, it's been a real, real issue for him. If Francis Ngannou had actually pushed the pace a bit and actually been more aggressive, he could have easily beaten Derek Lewis, I think, back in July. So now I don't see how he's going to be able to recover from that. Back problems don't clear up without serious, serious treatment, and Derek Lewis fought not that long ago, and it was a really big problem for him. Volkov, volume striker, he's a bit sloppy at times, he might get caught by a shot, but we've seen him take a lick already. I think he gets it done. I think Volkov wins by decision.
The only back problem in here is going to be Volkov on his back, as far as I'm concerning. I'm tag teaming with John Morgan today. We're going Derek Lewis again. I just think he will be aggressive this time. He's got to prove himself after July. I think Volkov is long, and I think if as long as he can get past those leg kicks and come inside on Volkov, I don't think Volkov likes pressure. Yes, he was very good against Verdum, I won't disagree with that, but I think Lewis gets the job done. The Black Beast puts Volkov on his back. The odds with William Hill for that fight: Derek Lewis is 11-8, Volkov 4-7, very close on the betting. Guys, we're just going to go to the co-main very quickly. Tony Ferguson against Anthony Pettis, a fantastic fight. The odds is William Hill, Ferguson 2-7, Pettis 13-5, and potentially the winner does sit in pole position to face the winner of Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor. I'm going to do my pick first of all. The big problem for Anthony Pettis, who is one of the most exquisite fighters to watch when he's at his best, is that I think he's fighting a fully fledged welterweight here, who manages to boil down to lightweight, who scrambles brilliantly, who's come back from injury, who is an inspirational character, and I think Pettis blows hot and cold at times. If he blows hot, it's going to be a great fight. If he blows cold, I think he'll get subbed by Tony Ferguson, who, as I say, transitions brilliantly. I think he'll stun, hurt, and submit Anthony Pettis. I'm going for a Tony Ferguson submission in the third round. John?
Yeah, you know what? I love the way you laid it out. I mean, this is a phenomenal fight. It's not getting the attention that it deserves after the main event. You know, of course, getting all the love this week, but it's an incredible fight. And when these two guys are in peak form and they're at their best, they're as creative, they're as exciting as anybody in all of the sport. I do feel like Anthony Pettis is in a really good place right now. I mean, both physically and mentally, yeah. I think he is going to have a good performance. That said, I still feel if Tony Ferguson's at his best, he beats him. Now, I am a little worried about Tony Ferguson this week. The demeanor that he's carrying around, the chip on his shoulder, the anger that he's got.
Hey, the breakdancing.
Well, the breakdancing is phenomenal. I love it. I'm just concerned. I hope that doesn't translate to, you know, doing something that's unnatural. Because when he goes in, when Tony Ferguson is relaxed, you know, in there just letting things come and doing his thing, he's incredible. But, you know, you see it. I mean, this is what we talk about with Conor McGregor, getting under the skin of his opponents. You know, when people are angry, they don't fight the way they need to fight. And you know, we asked him this week, who are you angry at? And he's like, I'm not angry. We're like, no, you are angry, bro. There's no question about it. I mean, he's in a weird situation. He was a champion. The belt was taken away from him, despite the fact that he's fighting on the same card as now the belt's being contested. So I understand where his frustration is.
Still coming. Carrying a belt around. Have you noticed that?
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So I get it. But so all that said, I think this is going to be a phenomenal fight. I do lean towards Tony Ferguson. My only concern is if for whatever reason he came back too soon to prove a point or his head's not in the right place, because if so, I think Anthony Pettis is in prime form this week.
Jim, one of the things that Pettis has struggled is when he's up against real pressure fighters, and he will get that against Ferguson. That's why I'm leaning with John towards Ferguson in this fight.
Yeah, very interesting. If Tony hadn't been injured not so long ago, I would have said that you're totally correct there. The pressure that Tony applies is just phenomenal. I mean, is he going to be able to do that consistently over three rounds for this fight? I don't know. How fit is Tony Ferguson? We've been trying to dig into it all kind of week here. He's shown us his scar, which still looks absolutely ridiculously disgusting. How fit is he? Like, how many strikes to the knee is it going to take for him to re-injure that? And he's coming up against one of the best kickers in the game, Anthony Pettis. I think Pettis is going to finish him. I think he might even finish him with leg kicks, which sounds insane.
No, it doesn't.
I'm agreeing with Jim too much this week. It's worrying me. I'm joking.
This is non-tongue cordial. There's no problem about that.
I think there's been a big sort of, you know, dismissal of Anthony Pettis this week amongst the media. I think, you know, everyone's going, oh, you know, he doesn't have a chance. Listen, when Anthony Pettis, you know, 3-4 years ago, when he was on top of the world, people were, you know, talking about this guy potentially cutting Conor McGregor, and that was a fight that everyone was talking about. Conor was on his rise. Listen, Tony Ferguson, as far as I'm concerned, you know, fantastic fighter, really, really good fighter, but I'm not sure about the mindset as well. I think he's looking at the main event even possibly more than he's looking at Anthony Pettis. I think he thinks he's going to win the fight. I think he's going to win it comfortably, but I'm not so sure. I have that little bit of doubt. I find it very hard to pick this fight the winner, but another worry for me, as Jim said there, I think his defense, you know, Tony can be, we saw the fight against Lana Venata. I know he took it on short notice. You know, standing up when he's walking in, he could walk into something. And I know Anthony Pettis has been training a lot with Jorge Linares in the build-up to this fight, obviously a boxer. So I think that's a big, big focus where they're going to try and target Tony Ferguson in this fight, and obviously the kicks as well to the knee, you know, the Taekwondo style. So for me, I still can't call this card. I'm finding it very, very
not
good. I'm not allowed, okay?
You cannot splinter your backside.
Well, maybe after speaking to Tony today, I think his mind might be elsewhere. So I'm going to pick Anthony Pettis to finish this, maybe third.
Wow, we really are tag-teaming today. The odds with William Hill, Tony Ferguson 2-7, Anthony Pettis 12-5. Jim?
Yeah, like I was saying there, Pettis, I'm going to get out with a second-round finish. I think he's going to target the knee, and I think he's going to make him buckle. And I think he won't make him quit. Tony will never quit. Yeah.
There's no pressure on him either.
It doesn't, you know... Anthony has said it. He's calm, he's cool, he's relaxed. I spoke to Duke, his coach, a couple of weeks ago. Very, very calm camp. And when I think when Anthony's calm, that's when you're going to get the best Anthony Pettis. And there's not a worry in the world. He's nothing to lose here.
You're selling it to me, guys. Let's move on to the main event. I'm just going to give you some of the method of betting, method of round, method of winning the victory in this fight. Bout betting overall. Khabib Nurmagomedov, 8-13. Conor McGregor, 13-10. Extraordinary when you think he's been away 2 years. Method of result. Khabib by TKO, KO or DQ, 7-2. McGregor by KO, TKO or DQ, 13-8. And on the round betting, Khabib going through the rounds, 13-2, 7-1, 9-1, 14-1 round four. I think that's a great little bet there on round four for Khabib. And round 5, 20-1. Khabib on point, 7-2. Conor in rounds. Round 1, 5-1. Round 2, 8-1. That's a great bet. Most people are going for round 2. We'll come to that in a minute. Round 3, 16-1. McGregor round 4, 28-1. Round 5, 35-1. And McGregor on points, 10-1. Gents, it's been a very interesting build-up. It's been a build-up since a piece of metal was thrown at a bus 6 months ago. It's always the McGregor show when he's in town. John, McGregor has made Las Vegas his home from home. He's so comfortable here. He knows he can kind of get away with a lot as well. It's about the drop in Vegas. He's the guy that brings the drop like Canelo Alvarez did, like Floyd Mayweather did, like Manny Pacquiao did. These guys, are favoured here. He's like the home fighter here on Saturday night, isn't he?
No question about it. That's what we're talking about. You know. Now you have a valid concern about what the atmosphere is going to be like in terms of actual Irish getting in, but there's going to be a bunch of fake Irish in there too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so you know, I think it's going to have a good atmosphere. But no, he is. I mean, he has been embraced by the American culture and especially here in Las Vegas, fight culture. You know, more than anything, just because you know the bravado is incredible. But you know, the great thing about Conor, and it's not like it's any surprise. It's just that you know that bravado and that confidence is real, and you don't see that a lot. I mean,
so no parody you feel this week. It's genuine. Yeah,
I agree. I think that's what's fantastic about him is just that you know it's not Chael Sonnen-esque where he's having fun playing a character, and it's great. But you know, at the end of the day, we know he doesn't believe it. No, I mean, Conor believes it all, and people are, you know, kind of are magnetized to him because of that.
No. Yeah, I think, you know, Conor, but, you know, I have a little bit of a concern about that and the mentality and stuff coming into the fight this week. I just felt, you know, with all that's gone on, you know, the incident dating back to Artem Lobov when that whole started the bus out and the dolly went through it. I think since we've kicked on, there's become a political undertones, things like that. I think this is the most aggressive, emotionally attached to Conor McGregor we've ever seen coming up to a fight. And I'm not so sure that's necessarily a good thing for Conor. So that's my worry for Conor in this fight. But listen, he is the master of switching it off on fight night.
Well, he's a master of keeping his heart rate low when you think he's in a crazy mood. But you saw that in New York. He was screaming at Khabib and then answering journalists in a very quiet voice. He keeps the heart rate low. It's a con for the opponent as far as I'm concerned.
But I think there's a difference between emotional and being aggressive. There's been more emotion here. You can see it in his eyes. You can see the reactions, the way he's conducting himself. There's intimidation tactics that are used, and I think this was more on a level to generally, personally insult Khabib.
Is it pointless trying to insult a man who is from a country that 7 years ago was rated as the most dangerous country in the world?
Obviously not. We saw yesterday he turned up at the open workouts and was showing a lot of emotion towards the Irish fans, towards McGregor. Obviously he'd been doing a bit of a
reference to the grandfather in the English merchant navy and the language being taken away and occupation. And
which he used 24 hours too early. Now McGregor's going to absolutely roast him today about it. So that's not normal, Khabib. He doesn't turn up and get involved in that. So, you know, there's an argument to be made there that Conor's in his head.
I love that now in fight sport trash talk, you know, Ancestry.com is part of the preparation process as well. You know, you got to research the family tree.
John, is there any point Conor trying to get into Khabib's head under his skin? I mean, I believe he has done.
Absolutely, absolutely. I looked at yesterday's workouts as well with Khabib feeling the need to address that audience. I mean, why? You know, New York was perfect for Khabib. Without the fans kind of rallying him up, he knew what Conor was going to do, so then he just stands there and just tune him out. But when you got to tune out a couple thousand people in front of you like he's about to, that's tougher. So, yeah, it's absolutely worth it because, you know, just as Niall said, you know, if Conor is too emotionally committed, it could be problematic. Same thing for Khabib. You know, Khabib, part of it is about being cold, about being ruthless. You know, these things, you know, I'm going to play with him a little bit. I'm going to talk to him a little bit. Probably don't want to do that, bro. Like, yeah. Stick to the focus.
I think that's a big concern for Khabib as well, you know, talking about the emotional side of it. And I spoke to Javier a number of weeks
Mendes,
ago.
Mendes, the head of AKA.
Yeah, his head coach. And the real interesting thing for Javier, and they'll openly admit it, and I think we saw it in the commentary, you know, going back as far as the Johnson fight, and then we had the Ali Aquinta fight. The big problem for Khabib has been sticking to his corner's game plan. They've wanted him to, you know, obviously utilize his grappling element, and he hasn't done that. He wanted to stand and bang against
Michael Johnson.
Against Michael Johnson and against Ali Aquinta. We heard that from the corners. They'll openly admit that. So, you know, if he goes out there and tries to stand with Conor and Conor gets in his head and it becomes personal and he just wants to hit Conor, that's a massive, stupid mistake that could be made. And listen, look, past history says that he's done it. So that could be a potential real area of focus. And I think the press conference today could be absolutely crucial.
Guys, thank you. We'll come to Styles making fights in a minute, but the final thing I'd like to ask about your view on this, about body language and the psychology and the mentality going into this fight, is that a body language expert, I don't know if you read this, but a body language expert studied Khabib in the New York press conference and said that when you look at previous opponents when he's done face-offs, he comes straight up to them,
and he stepped back.
But he stepped back with Conor, and Dana White had to hold Conor back, and also that his body language relaxed when Conor took a go at Ali
Abdelaziz,
thank you very much. When he had a go, when Conor had a go at Ali, Khabib's body language relaxed like the heat was off him. I thought that was, listen, too much can be read into all these things, but, you know, maybe he's just not comfortable doing those things. He's certainly comfortable fighting, there's no question about that. But very, very interesting that I genuinely believe that Conor has got a psychological advantage over Khabib, and it may end up winning him this fight. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said to you yesterday, I think at the open workouts, he kind of showed his hand, Khabib. He got emotional. We've not seen it. And I'm repeating myself here, but we saw him cracked.
We're used to that, Jim.
As Niall said at the press conference today, like, what are we going to see? I think there's going to be a few thousand. There's people already tweeting me the fact they're lined up outside the Park Theatre now, going insane. They've been on the beers since the morning. This is going to be an insane atmosphere. Can Khabib handle the pressure? Let's see.
Conor has a psychological advantage over any fighter. I mean, he's incredible at what he does. It's just how it translates on fight night. As you said, it's fun to talk about all this stuff, but they're all intangibles. You know what I mean? If you can turn them off on fight night, I mean, Khabib has the game to beat Conor. Conor has the game to beat Khabib. It's just how it gets executed. So, I do believe Conor has an advantage. I do believe he has touched into the emotion of Khabib, as cold and stoic as he tries to be. We'll see what happens fight night.
Okay, guys, our emotions are over. Our psychology's over now. It's time to look at the styles and the fight itself. Jim, I'll come to you first. 2 years away. Starts on the feet, of course, as every fight does. Has Conor got it in him to win this fight, which would presumably propel him again into being the biggest star in combat sports?
Yeah, 100%. People are going to call me crazy, but I draw comparisons between this fight and Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey, where it was like Ronda Rousey was unbeatable. Like, that grappling style that she had, it was so dominant. She was submitting people left, right, and center. Holly Holm comes in, works a kind of different, like, kind of distant stand-up game, and wins the first few exchanges and mentally breaks Ronda Rousey, and then we all know how it all plays out. That happens on Saturday night. If Conor avoids the takedown for the first few attempts, Khabib might panic, and when you panic, you get hit by big shots. And we've seen already this week, he's got marks all over his face. They're all under his right eye, which suggests he's been being hit by left hands like for the last 2 weeks. I know a guy with a pretty good left hand on him, and his name's Conor McGregor. I think he's going to knock him out in the second round.
Wow. John?
It's so incredibly intriguing. That's what I mean. You take all the drama outside of the fight, and the fight itself is just an incredible chess match. I'm leaning towards Khabib Nurmagomedov. The grappling element, of course, we all realize the relentless pace. We all realize, you know, you talked about those bets earlier. Those late finish bets, fourth and fifth round, are kind of intriguing, because if it does go there, you got to think Conor will be fading at that point. But all that said, listen, I mean, Conor's left hand is a game changer, and if it lands clean, it will be a problem for Khabib Nurmagomedov. Whether or not he can do that, you know, we'll see how much time he's on his feet versus his back. We'll see. So I'm leaning towards Khabib, but you will not hear me expressing any shock whatsoever if Conor lays him out.
And are you feeling that Khabib wins by stoppage during the fight?
I think it's a decision. I do think Conor is good enough on his back, better than I think most people realize, to survive. I don't think he'll be finished there. It's just a matter of getting back up, which is hard. It's not like it's because he's such a rookie. No, it's just that Khabib's top game is so dominant. So, you know, I would lean towards decision, but again, kind of hedging with a little bit of a late finish, that'd be interesting as well.
I've been going back and forth, Gareth, as you know. I've started ahead a few weeks ago.
You cannot pick against Conor McGregor as an Irishman. You're going to get lynched in Vegas on Sunday morning.
Picked Khabib at the start, went back to Conor. I've gone back to Khabib, but I think today is going to be crucial in what we see at this press conference, and I expect with a crowd there, you know, with the full backing of Conor McGregor, you'd expect that this could be the little edge that Conor needs to get over the line, maybe really inspire him on to go in there. And I think it's going to get under Khabib's skin. I worry, as I said, about the whole mindset, you know, where Khabib could potentially get so agitated that he's going to stand with Conor. So that's an area for me I think is going to be very interesting. And another point I don't think a lot of people have brought up, you know, we talk about Conor being away for 2 years, but, you know, he went through a full boxing camp as well, and that's only going to make his hands better. So I've thought about it, and, you know, I suppose being an Irishman in Vegas, I'm going to go with Conor McGregor. I think second round stoppage from Conor McGregor. I think it's going to be devastating, and I think we're in for an absolutely cracking fight on Saturday night. Can't wait for it.
Well, at the risk of repeating everyone here, because I don't really see things too much differently to you, Jim, and to you, Niall, I'm going Conor McGregor second round. I mean, there's a little suspicion in my mind that I doubted Conor against Nate Diaz the second fight. I thought it was crazy to take it.
Myself, yeah.
Exactly. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen anyone put Eddie Alvarez away the way he did that. We haven't seen what he did mentally against Jose Aldo. The comeback, the second fight against Nate Diaz was extraordinary, how he came through that same tunnel of difficulty and came out the other end. I've used the expression several times about Conor now, there's magic in those bones. I just feel it's hard to doubt him. Khabib is brilliant, there's no question about it. And I think, in a sense, I'm voting for the explosion of the sport again as well. I think Conor by second round knockout, own little stoppage, because I think he's got to get the fight done in the first two rounds, otherwise he gets mauled later on. Yeah, he's got 10 minutes. So I think we're all in accordance in many ways. As John's saying, the caveat for him is that Conor could get the fight done. You cannot write him off because of you just look at the fear on the faces of Diego Brandão, Brimage, Dennis Seaver, Dustin Poirier, Jose Aldo, the shock of Jose Aldo, the surprise from Nate Diaz, the shock on Eddie Alvarez's face, hit by punches he's never saw coming. All these guys are decent, rising to elite level guys, and McGregor wove his magic on all of them.
When we were at the Bellator event last week, I was talking to a member of Gegard Mousasi's camp, and they had the perfect analogy. They said, you know, for Khabib, it's like an attacking bear, you know, with a long rifle. So Conor's got that long rifle, and if it lands, you take that bear down. If that bear gets inside of you, that long rifle's no good anymore. And I thought that was the perfect analogy. I'm like, that's what it is, and that's why that's just so great, because we can all sit here and say what we think what's going to happen, but nobody can say, but the opposite will never happen. No, it might. That's what is so intriguing about this.
Well, the odds, guys, Khabib Nurmagomedov to retain his UFC lightweight crown, 8-13. Conor McGregor to get the victory, 13-10 on William Hill's betting. Method of results, three of us here picking round two for Conor McGregor, 8-1. What great odds they are. And Khabib to win late in the fight, round four or round five, 14-1 and 20-1. Khabib on points, as John thinks it may be, 7-2. Niall McGrath from Off the Ball, John Morgan from MMA Junkie, Jim Edwards from Fighters Only Magazine. I'm Gareth A. Davis. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on the William Hill UFC Buzz podcast. Enjoy the fights on Saturday night. UFC 229 feels like it's going to be really special.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.